Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and you're listening to KCIW, your community radio station. You know, we're in the midst of a pretty strange time. For most, probably all of us, our lives have been severely disrupted. The economy is in tatters, and the acrimony between the left and the right has become so intense that civility and empathy seem to no longer have a place in our interactions with each other. The great divide between us and them seems to just keep growing wider, fueled by anger and fear on both sides. The logical result is a community further divided, further alienated from anyone not in our own tribe, and increasingly fragile. We're each convinced that our perception of reality is the truth, and therefore anyone who doesn't share it is just plain wrong. But like a giant beach ball made up of unlimited slices of color, what you see all depends on where you're standing. My hope is that this show can help all of us see the other colors by first being willing to entertain the possibility that they exist and learn that there might be some worth in listening to a perspective different than our own. I believe that willingness to include all of us in the discussion will lead to a stronger, more resilient community, something we all want and need. Please join me for my conversations with Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper, a new series called Building Bridges. Welcome to our third show in the new series, Building Bridges. With this series of shows, Mayor Jake Pieper and I are trying to start the conversations necessary to begin the process of coming together on issues as a community, rather than as divided partisan factions. While it was the emergency of COVID-19 and the resulting concern that initially got this all rolling, the reality is that it took both of us reaching across to each other for the welfare of the community, in spite of our differences. It took both of us being willing to set aside the past hurts, frustrations, and anger with each other to find a new ground where we could have real and meaningful conversations. Jake, as always, I am just thrilled to have you here with these.
Hi, Candace.
I just love this. I really love it. And I particularly, I mean, it is really surprising to me that we've managed to do this. Given, I know, but really, I mean, when you think about our history, it's been really contentious, and we were absolutely on opposite ends of whatever that spectrum was, and you know, we did not like each other very much.
Yeah, I didn't quite feel that way. I didn't feel that strong. Yeah, honestly.
You're a better person than me?
No, God, no.
This is me no. off.
No. Believe me, in the end it might wrap around that it makes me worse, but I don't know.
You didn't take it as personally as I did? Is that what you mean?
I've spoken in my chats. I've mentioned defensive mechanisms and just right. kind of a survival skill. And part of that just like work and business. Right. And so,
right.
you know, a lot of mayoral things can be very hard, especially if they're taken very personally. So, you know, it helps to kind of, you know, put your business face on and deal with right. it that way. So
right. Well, we definitely weren't chums.
Yeah, we definitely weren't chums.
No, not chums.
not chums. Yeah,
I was. And it's kind of interesting now that you know it was the Facebook chats and it was the me reaching out and saying, you know, can we run these on the station and mm-hmm. and then you and I got talking on Zoom, which was really
remember the first one that wasn't that weird.
I think the first thing I said was I'm really nervous because I don't know how this is gonna go, right? Aren't you my enemy? I mean how do you have a conversation? But it really was pretty easy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and
I think
we were talking for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And when we got off, I went,
whoa.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised that it went like that, but I definitely had that, you know, well, what if it does? I had a few different scenarios figured out in my mind just in case.
Yeah. Good for you. I had nothing figured out whatsoever. I figured I could turn off my computer really fast, and that's what I had figured out. So, Jake, I got to tell you a little bit about this day because it's been crazy.
One of those. But,
yeah, really. But first, I want to mention to our listening audience that we aren't doing this in a studio.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that's actually part of what the day is, right? So Jake is sitting at his house and I'm sitting at my house, and our recorder and editor is sitting at his house. And somehow we are doing all of this remotely. What I noticed when I listened to the show we did last week was, Jake, your voice was beautiful, sounding so great. I mean, there was no interference. There was no wonkiness. It was, you know, really good sound. And mine wasn't. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. why is my audio kind of stinking, you know? And then I think you and Tom both said, we'll try getting a Cat 6 cable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which was hardwired. Like, I don't even know what that is, right? But I did.
Yeah.
And Tom says it sounds much better this week.
Well,
so
good.
We'll see, is all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, I assume mine still sounds great and strong and
valuable. Now, wait a minute. That's a value judgment right there. So in addition to all the craziness that I'm going to tell you, what we just went through was Jake's earphones weren't working. So before we could even start this, Jake had to make an emergency run to Fred Meyer to get new earphones. So that's part of what goes into producing these radio shows. Never a dull moment. So the way my life started today was, I got up and, you know, my normal rising time at this point is usually around noon.
Holy smokes.
Right?
Wow.
Now, it's not because I get a tremendous amount of sleep at night, because I don't actually fall asleep until usually about 3 o'clock in the morning, because I'm working, you know, I work into the night. But anyway, so I stumble out of bed at around noon and I make my coffee, and then I check my phone, and there's a message on the phone. So I listen to the message, and it's from the Brookings Police Department.
Oh boy.
And right?
Yeah.
And the officer is saying, "Hi, this is Officer," I think his name is Chittick.
Chittick.
There was a report of your storage unit being broken into last night. So you know, I'm letting you know, give me a call back, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
So, right. So I called him back and, you know, sure enough, you know, the storage unit was broken into. Evidently the door was up or something, whatever. So I said, all right, well, give me 20 minutes to throw on some clothes and I'll meet you up at the storage unit. So then I do that and walk out to the car and I open my car door and what's this? Everything is discombobulated in my car, which means somebody was in it. I obviously failed to remember to lock my car door last night. And yes, indeed, they had stolen my Garmin, which admittedly is like 6 or 7 years old and probably doesn't work anymore. And they got some spare change and stuff like that. And of course, you know, tore everything apart looking for whatever.
A key to your storage shed?
No.
Just coincidence, really.
Right? How is it that?
Yeah. Okay.
So I called the police department and I say, listen, I got to talk to, you know, Clinic because, you know, I can't meet him up there in 20 minutes. He needs to come here because my car's been broken into. So He did. He came to my driveway. And,
wow. You know,
and then we went up to the storage unit where they had actually used bolt cutters to cut through the bolt that went into the frame of the garage door, right? So, yeah. So it's been one of those days.
That's either one of those things would have been a good story. Yeah, that's crazy. Right? That's
but
crazy.
To have them like both. And I mean, I'm kind of scratching my head thinking, you know, how does this happen? Right? How do you get two things? And then I got a call later today from the officer who actually discovered it last night. And he said, nah, I don't know that it was actually happened last night because there were cobwebs and, you know, on the door and stuff. I didn't have the heart to tell him that those cobwebs are normal. I don't clean my storage unit. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That is something. That's really something.
You know, it was an interesting day. And yeah, you know, it kind of brought me to mind that, you know, if people are in such bad shape economically that's what they have to do, that just makes me feel bad. You know, I mean, I'd really wish there was some way that I could just reach out to them and give them $20, right? I mean,
well, that's an incredibly humane and good moral way to look at it.
It's just sad, I think. I mean, if you have to steal, if that's what you have to do to have a life,
yeah,
it's just sad.
I can see it.
Yeah. It's just sad.
Wow.
So yeah. Anyway, that's my day. Right? Yeah.
Well, a lot can happen in the morning when you were sleeping. So.
When I'm asleep. I know. So, but I don't think I can get up any earlier.
No, I get that. That's like, oh, people that work in restaurants and things, you know.
Right,
Those nighttime hours.
Play music gigs and, you know,
all that. Yeah, nightlife.
Yeah.
Nighttime people, yeah.
But you actually have to get up, right? I mean, you've got
a job. Oh, yeah. No, I'm a normal. Yeah, I'm square.
You're normal.
I'm a normal. You know, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
So, we haven't even begun to really talk about any of the sticky topics, right? I mean, we've been pretty much laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't. Yeah.
Laughing and telling stories.
We're still getting used to this part. Yeah.
We're still getting used to this part. But, you know, when I think about it and I think about how we've been talking for the last, you know, 3 months now, I'm fairly optimistic that we can find our way through sticky topics.
Yeah. I mean, you and I personally, for sure. Yeah. I think we're there.
Yeah. And clearly the way to get there was by having real conversations that were not necessarily about those sticky topics.
Right.
That you could, you know, work on actually having a relationship.
Right.
And then, yeah, so that to me is probably one of the basic rules is if you're going to try and have sticky topic conversations, you have to have a relationship first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you said that on one of your chats recently, too. Yeah.
And we're there. I mean, and at the end of the day, I mean, if we can do it, a lot of people can do it because of what you just described, you know, we haven't had the best history with each other.
Right. Right. And what I've found, if you can get to that point where you're actually having real conversations, what you find is that you really share a lot more than you thought you did.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's
you find many things in common. You know, you see commonalities for sure.
that you never would have seen before because you were so focused on the problems, on the, right?
Yeah. See, you know, I saw you through the disagreement that we have.
Exactly.
At the time.
Exactly. So exactly.
The disagreement is the filter.
And we've talked the last time about how poor communication can really skew things, and where we human beings just don't communicate very well with each other.
No, and we don't.
Yeah, yeah. And it probably has to do with, you know, several different things, I would think. The experiences that you have growing up, the kind of the environment in which you are raised, really kind of sets the filter for the way you're going to see things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you come from a fairly privileged environment, that's the norm, right? That you are going to see things through that norm. Whereas if you were raised without very much, that's going to be your norm. And then what you did with that, right?
So, yeah, it'll all be your personal experience.
Right.
That will draw your perspective.
And I think that personalities also have something to do with it.
Oh, I think so.
Like, right?
Yeah.
So you've got four kids.
Yeah.
And each one of them has a different personality.
I know. It's a crazy thing.
Right?
They all get their own. Yeah.
Right? They do. Yeah. And they're not the same as you.
No, I know. And right? Yeah. And some things work on some of them and don't work on others. That's a real fun thing to work through.
Isn't that interesting? I know. Right?
Yeah.
And not just don't work, but like work in the reverse.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That's fun.
Right? Yeah.
But different personalities for sure.
So how, as a parent, how have you walked your way through that? Because that's something you would have to learn kind of anew with each child, right?
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
How have I walked through it? Well, with fear and trembling, some of it. And
thank God for your wife. Right?
Yeah. I just asked Holly to walk through it, and I kind of show up afterwards and say, hey, what's going on?
That doesn't work.
Yeah,
Jake.
I know.
Come on.
I know. I mean, you know, honestly, I realize that I'm on the uphill climb of that. I'm on the beginning stages of that. You know, so younger children are a bit easier. And then they get to be about 7 or 8 or so, and then they really start showing who they are. And I wouldn't know how to describe how I walk through it. I mean, it's just the same as another person, who happens to be your child, but they are, even young children, they are their own people, and their value and the value of their opinion. That's a tough one. I deal with that one all the time. And I know my wife does too, that, you know, a 13-year-old person, they have value and worth, and so does their opinion.
Yep.
And so that's a tough, you know, walking through that. How do you do that? Trying to respect your kids. I've found out more about that as I've gotten teenagers now, you know, still having that, at least my son, he has a need to be respected the same way I do for me to have a relationship with other human beings, you know?
Yep. Of course.
So,
and that's an interesting thing to have to give that respect to a short.
Oh yeah.
Person.
Right. Yeah.
One of those small ones. Right?
Yeah. It is, you know, but the way that I see that and I look at that to my son, I mean, I realize that someone who is 75 or 80 years old could look at me the same way. I mean, it's still right. This youngster. I've been there and done that, and you are a youngster, you know, yes. that deal.
Yep.
So I'm young enough to still get it, you know, on the other end. And then right. turn around and give it to my son.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lucky son.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter, I think there was a year that she didn't speak to me. I think it was, she hit 12. I believe it was from 12 to 13. She hit 12, and that was it. I was dead to her for a year. And then somehow, I don't know, she turned 13 and started talking to me again. But it was an interesting time to be on the receiving end of that, having been on the giving end of it to my mother.
Oh, well.
Right.
Yeah, what do you do with that? Not a whole lot you can say. Yeah.
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 Kind of go, ouch, that shoe hurts.
Yeah.
Ouch.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's a big old piece of sloppy humble pie right there,
ooh,
man.
And I'll tell you, it doesn't let up, you know, as you get older, right? It doesn't let up. Like, I remember that I hated calling my mom on a regular basis, right?
Oh, right.
I just hated it because I'm this independent, you know, I'm on the West Coast, she's back East. I just, having to call her and check in, it was like, really, come on, I don't want to have to do that, right? Well, so what I get for a daughter is somebody who can go 3 or 4 months easily without checking in, right?
Mm.
It's like, okay, mom, I get it. I get it. You know, God bless your pee-pick and soul. I get it. You know, I get it. Yeah. So
that's
crazy.
Be
prepared to reap what you sow.
Yeah. I'm that way. I could go months without talking to my mom. So,
yeah. 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 So just imagine if that was, you know, Titus, who could go months without checking in with his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels crappy. I gotta
tell you.
It feels crappy.
All right. I'll call my mom. I need to call my mom.
Right. That's why on your chats, when you say something about calling your mom, we're all madly typing, call your mom.
I know. I can't believe I let that one slip that time. Yeah. That was a good one.
That was hilarious. That was pretty funny. So another thing that I see as kind of a difference between people are sort of our ideological differences.
Yeah.
So there's two really major ones that I see. One is kind of this individualism, intrepid explorer, independent, I pull myself up by my own bootstraps, you know, that kind of thing.
That sounds good. I'll take that.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I get it. And on the other side is kind of this, collective community. We function as a whole, and it's made up of obviously different individuals, but it's more of a looking at how the whole functions. And they seem to be pretty antagonistic at this point towards each other. That the whole liberty, freedom, individualism doesn't seem to have a lot in common anymore, or doesn't see the commonality, and vice versa. And yet it seems to me that both are needed. I mean, how do you have a civilization that isn't
right
communal based as well as individual based, right? I mean, I don't, yeah. So anyway, so talk a little bit about that whole individualism thing, because you're clearly more on that age.
Well, so I think that everyone, the people that you have in your mind when you think of the don't tread on me, you do your thing, I'll do mine, individual liberty and rights, and you know, even those people, I think we all have both of those in us. We all have a desire to be an individual, but you know, depending on the topic, we understand or concede that there's a collective and civilization that we need to take care of, or you know, that we're part of. But I definitely come from a place and a worldview that, and I guess a belief structure that definitely lends itself to individualism. And I come from a place of I'll do my thing and you can do your thing, and you know, live and let live, live and let live. I'm good. Yeah. You're good. Just, you know, don't bother me. Right. Don't try to take what's mine. I don't want what's yours, and we can just live in harmony together.
Right.
Now, my experience in governance the last few years, you know, has brought me to a bit of a different perspective that I wouldn't necessarily talk about with everyone. So maybe you're a lucky person, because it can seem kind of belittling to the community, but it's not. There's an aspect of governance and being mayor that's kind of a paternal point of view, right? And yep. So that, you know, looking at the whole and the whole community, and my focus being on the community as a whole, it definitely has shown me that perspective. And I've gotten a glimpse of that perspective and make a lot of decisions based on that. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And realistically, when you look at the whole institution of government, it is about the collective.
Right.
It is, you know, so you absolutely have to take that, you have to have that perspective. How can you make decisions based on what the collective good is if
clearly
you don't look at collective good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, right. So when I look at things like the whole mask, no mask thing that has evolved around COVID, it looks to me like the liberty people, the individual liberty people are saying, I'm not going to wear a mask because that's my decision. And I get to make that decision because it's my body. I get to make that decision. And the collective people are saying, yeah, but what about, you know, your obligation to the societal group? And it looks to me like that is a real, I mean, that's a very concrete example of how do we get over that? How do we bridge that so that the individual doesn't feel like they're giving up a right?
Oh,
and
boy.
I know, right? But doesn't there have to be a way to be able to get through this?
Well, I think that the partial reality is that a lot of us have gotten through it, and more of us will. And so I was definitely one of those when a lot of COVID restrictions started coming down. You know, it was a completely not foreign concept, but just an unthinkable for me. and how someone, you know, someone could actually prohibit peaceably assembling together. And, you know, and so for some people, it's the mask thing. But I think as time goes on and it just settles more and the drama and emotional aspect of it comes down and people just realize more that it's just a mask. I mean, we wear them, we wore them before COVID for different things. We're going to wear them for some things after COVID. It's just a mask and it'll settle in for people. I think, I don't know. I mean, there's always some, that definitely just won't do it. Just like there's some people, you know, I know people, you know, I love some people actually that will take a car seatbelt and clip it behind their back or just kind of throw it over their shoulder so the cops will think that they're wearing it.
Seriously? Yeah.
You know, or if they're in a car, okay. that if they're in a vehicle that dings, then they just need to clip it behind their back because they just adamantly right. won't wear a seatbelt. And
wow.
You know, I mean, so it's all sorts of folks.
Right, right.
But yeah, the liberty, you know, that the same thing that I have in me that, you know, give me liberty or give me death, that spirit of rebellion that I've accepted to be an American trait.
Right.
That's not something that is just quashed.
No, no. Although it's interesting because when I was looking at some papers today, I actually typed in individualism and, you know, went to look at what some people have said about it, what books have been written and papers have been written and stuff. And it was very interesting because the stuff that I found, it said that the country was founded on individualism. But our nation's founders assumed that the freedom of individuals to pursue their own ends would be tempered by a public spirit and concern for the common good that would shape the social institutions. So when they were kind of forming this whole agenda for mm-hmm. this country, it was based on a very robust participation in civic affairs. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody participated in governing and, you know, civic affairs. Everybody was involved in churches and in, you know, groups. And so I think that it wasn't just individualism. It was that combined with a strong understanding of community and a strong desire to participate in community.
Right. The two ideals aren't mutually exclusive, right? I mean, and so that's what we're left with really is trying to find this balance or, you know, just what works. Obviously, I haven't met anyone that just doesn't accept the need for any sort of collective thought or any sort of governance. It just comes with living civilized.
Right.
And so what I mentioned about that I think both ideals are actually in most everyone. One thing I've found in my time of government is the repeating example of someone that is incredibly pro like property rights, for example, very pro mm-hmm. property rights. And then will turn around and want me to do something about their neighbor that is doing something with their property that they don't like. And so, you know, we all, depending on the circumstance or depending on the topic, we can all easily flop right over to the other side on that one. At least
which is actually pretty funny, right?
Oh, it is. And yeah. It can be. Mm-hmm. And when I've seen such a stark contrast and sometimes really, really quickly, you know, a complete 180, something that seems to be a complete 180, it has been funny to me before. And so there's been a few people that I knew personally enough to point at them and say, see, you remember last week?
Yeah, because it was just last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, how do we, I guess, how do we encourage people to see those other sides? Because it seems to me that is really a major step, that if you can kind of come around to the other side of the beach ball and see that other perspective that's your neighbor has or whatever, you actually have the ability to have a conversation that isn't immediately us versus them.
Yeah. So we all have our circles, right? Our peer groups or whatever, people that we interact with every day and that we know.
Right.
So I have mine, you have yours. I would like to think that I can show my colleagues in government and my peers and my circle of folks that I see every day. I'm hoping that I can show them something that I've been able to do and that it actually kind of works and here's the benefit of it and, you know, give it a shot. So in my chats, I remember mentioning one time, I think the topic was about gun control or just guns in general, right? And you remember on my chat, I mentioned, you know, that I found the person that was like close to opposite of me and I'm going to talk to him and we're going to, you know, I'm going to start with me and one other person and see how this goes. And that was you, right? You
yes.
knew that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and so, you know, so here we are after a history that we've kind of spoken about a little bit. You know, we haven't let out all the juicy details, but we've talked about it.
Most people know it's a small town.
So, and here we are after a couple months and we have we're chatting weekly on a radio now and, maybe we can bridge a gap between you and I, and I'm hoping that the rest of my colleagues at the city and, you know, people that I know, they can see that and understand that you or your people can't be that much different. I mean, if Jake can do it.
Right, right. And that maybe the differences aren't so horrible. I mean, I will always feel about guns the way I feel about them because my feelings about them were informed by my experiences. Mm-hmm. So I don't like the noise. It frightens me. They frighten me. I've seen damage up close, mm-hmm. and I have reason to be afraid of them. Mm-hmm. I don't see that changing for me.
Right.
At the same time, I think it's perfectly okay that you don't feel that way, that you don't have any fear about guns at all. In fact, you feel safer with a gun on the premises or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there has to be a way to make it okay that we have differing perspectives, that it doesn't take away from your perspective. I'm not making you bad and wrong because your perspective is different from mine.
Right. Yeah, it gets sticky when okay, we can accept that we have our different perspectives and that's fine and dandy. We can both have ours, right. But it gets sticky when, you know, we start talking about laws and things that change things, that either take guns right. away from me or, you know, give guns to someone that
or
you don't
make
want.
Me carry a gun.
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, whatever the yeah. absolute opposite is. Yeah. You got
to, what is that?
Yeah. you got to sleep with a shotgun next to you now.
For, exactly. Yeah. Under yeah. my pillow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But realistically, the conversation isn't really about, I want to have a gun. No, you can't have a gun.
Oh,
is
right.
it really? No. I mean, it's not really about that, is it? isn't it more about, I want to have a gun? Yeah, you can have a gun as long as you're sane and it's not a gun that you can shoot a million people with in 30 seconds. I mean, isn't that more the conversation? I don't know. Maybe it's not.
I think it is. I think it is. And just we're talking about gun control, but so specific. Specifically on the topic of gun control, I think that's the I believe that's the conversation. But I recognize the fact that a lot of folks, they realize that that's the talking point for today, but that's not the conversation over a generation. You know, they're looking at the long game, and today it's the conversation is whatever, big black guns that scare people because they can shoot a lot of people really stinking quick, right?
I know. Yeah.
So, you know, I think that if most people truly believed that that was all the conversation we're going to have about firearms, you know, is just high-powered semi-automatic rifles and things, you know, the conversation today would be really different. But there's a lot of folks that believe that that's not where the conversation ends, that it's, you know, and it's just a step. It's just a rung in a ladder or a...
Right.
So...
And you know, there's not really a good way to argue that, because I don't have a magic ball. I can't see into the future. I have no idea if that's the first rung on that ladder.
Oh, right.
I would not want it to be. I mean, I would stand up for somebody's right to have their own gun as long as it didn't kill a million people in 30 seconds. But I can't, I mean, I certainly can't convince somebody of something that is a future possible event. I mean, how do you even have that conversation?
It's pretty tough too, right? I mean, it's pretty tough to argue with something, you know, to argue that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that I'm at a point in my life where I realize that it takes a lot of work to like keep a vehicle insured or to have a driver's license or, you know, the sort of things I have to do to have a contractor's license and the continuing education for it and everything.
I can imagine though. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, a lethal firearm, isn't hard to get. A concealed carry permit isn't hard to get. And I appreciate carry permits. I've had one before and appreciate that people can get them. But you know, the only actual requirement really for it was to pass a NRA written exam. And you know, the person that I kind of did it with did a lot of shooting things with me, but you don't really need to be skilled in the tool that you're allowed to carry on your hip, you know, which is interesting.
It's kind of odd, right?
I mean, I think so. I mean, my gosh, you have to take a driving test in order to get a license. And there's a lot of things you have to do for things in this country, you know, of things you want to do, how you want to operate a business or you want to drive a car, you want to do anything. There's protocol and you have to get Big Brother's permission for it, you know, at the end of the day.
Well, and it's also about responsibility, right? I mean, if you've got a license to drive, it means that you've got some responsibility to the other people who are on the road or the pedestrians that are trying to cross the street in front of you that you mowed down. You know, I mean, you actually have some responsibilities.
That's why you have to wear a seatbelt. That's why you have to wear a seatbelt.
It would be a good idea, but
well, I've tried to explain that it's not only you, that if you get bumped in a vehicle, you're driving this big metal object that weighs like 3 tons down the road.
Yes.
And you know what I'm saying? And you're in driver's seat and you're controlling it. Now, if something happens and you leave the driver's seat, now you're just, here's this big old metal
there
object.
It is.
Yeah, barreling down the road.
Down the road, exactly. It could be a problem. Yeah. I know.
I think it's the same with guns. I believe it's the same with guns.
And I've known a lot of motorcycle riders. My father had a motorcycle dealership in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And there was a time before the helmet laws were passed that you didn't have to wear a helmet, right? And God knows the wind through your hair. I mean,
that's illegal in some states, I think.
There are some states, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And there is no better feeling. Seriously, you're on a bike and you're tooling down the highway and the wind's in your hair. And I mean, it is an exquisite experience. However, if you get hit by a drunk driver while you're tooling down the road, you're liable to die. And if you get hit by somebody that is obeying the law and you weren't obeying the law and you die, that's on their conscience, right? That you didn't protect yourself. And that's
an interesting thing.
That would be hard to live with, you know, to know that you had killed somebody that wouldn't have necessarily died if they had just had a helmet on, you know, just protected themselves.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I haven't really thought about that.
Well, I am married to a motorcycle guy, so I thought about it.
I'd wear a helmet. I'm not a big motorcycle guy, but
I
wear a bicycle helmet when I'm on a bike. Maybe not. Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah, see, I really don't want to wear a bicycle helmet. Is that a law, by the way?
Do you know? I want to say that there is for the city of Brookings, there's a helmet law.
Really?
Yeah, because I think my kids challenged me on it one time, and I think I looked it up. So.
Oh, that's disappointing. I'm going to have to buy a helmet.
You know, I think I want to say maybe it's 16 and under, though. So you're good.
Oh, I'm way.
Yeah. Yes. You should be good. They might want an idea, but you should be good.
Oh, God. I laughed so hard the last time when I was in some, it might have been the liquor store in California. I can't remember. And he said, I have to check your ID. Was like, are you kidding me? I am almost 70 years old. Do I look like I'm 16? But whatever. Okay.
But whatever. Yep. Here it is.
Exactly. So that would be great. Then I wouldn't have to get a bicycle helmet.
There you go.
Not that, you know, my bike has two flat tires right now. So not that I'm actually going to get on it and ride, but still. But there's that independent spirit, right? I don't want to have to wear a helmet. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't want to have to.
It's a spirit of rebellion. And I don't think that it's an American trait any longer. I think human nature, it's a spirit of a human being, I think is rebellion.
Not everybody, though.
That comes
from
a lot
of people are really willing to follow the rules.
There are plenty of people that have been conditioned to do certain things, that's stepping into that worldview and even spiritual beliefs and you know, the state of human beings and the state of mankind. So that's where I get some of that. Yeah.
Well, do you want to expound on that?
The natural rebellion of mankind?
Yes. Yeah.
Sure. That in the beginning, man rebelled against God.
And that's the whole Garden of Eden thing?
Yeah. That's a trait. Mm-hmm. That's a trait of mankind that every person is born with.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's in our nature. And obviously, like I can look at certain countries more than others that people seem to be brought up in a culture of compliance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I still believe at the root of every individual is a spirit of rebellion.
That's a very interesting philosophy.
Well, there you go.
Well, I'm going to have to chew on that.
Yeah. Put that in your pipe and smoke it for a bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, it seems to me that somehow the conversation, it feels like it continues to break down along partisan lines, you know, like the, it, and it feels really weird to me, but it looks to me like the Republican kind of MO is that independence kind of thing, and the Democrat seems to be more social programs and stuff like that, which is odd when I look back, because I looked back to see what like the Republican platform was back in 1956 when Eisenhower ran.
Okay, gotcha.
It was completely different, Jake. It was like the things that were in that platform were provide federal assistance to low-income communities, protect Social Security, provide asylum for refugees, extend minimum wage, improve unemployment benefits, strengthen labor laws, and assure equal pay for equal work regardless of the sex. I mean, these are like, this was the Republican platform? Right? I mean, I'm just like...
Yeah, it's always an interesting thing when you look back and you go far enough back. You know, sometimes you don't have to go too far back and see a stark difference in political platforms. Because the parties evolve and have evolved in time, just like everyone has.
But that kind of feels like a 180 out, doesn't it?
Well, I don't do. You could see things with Democrats, though, right? I mean,
I'm definitely okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you look at the Southern Democrats, and
was. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out the difference in the platform, just because it. For me, it's so stark.
So stark. Yeah.
You know, that it looks like the platform was about taking care of society, of kind of bringing the lowest ones up, or the ones that were lagging, bringing them up.
Could you see that the needs have changed a bit, and that, I mean, things have changed?
Well, it's certainly, I mean, certainly through the 50s and probably into the 60s, we had that amazing time, you know, when everything was growing and there was a good, strong middle class, and people had a pretty good wage to live on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's deteriorated since then. I mean,
yeah, that's interesting. You said that was from 1956,
yeah.
Eisenhower.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was born in 50, so that was my childhood, and my memory is that most of the families, and I was in a Catholic school, and you know, so my friends all had pretty good financial status. Hmm. Nobody was rich, but they had enough money to send their kids to Catholic school.
Yeah.
Which, you know, cost something. And it was just a different time, you know? I mean, you weren't afraid to go play in the park all day long, you know? And your mom would, my mom at dinner time, when it was dinner time, she'd come out on the deck and she'd yell for us. She didn't know where we were all day long. Yeah. Had no clue where we were.
I know. It sounds like a good time. I mean, I've always just heard the stories, you know.
Yeah.
It's just the good old days. And I know that the thing is they weren't the good old days for everybody, you know.
Right.
And that's a reality of it.
Yep. No, that is absolutely true. Particularly if you had color.
Well, that's exactly what I was talking about. It's just those good old days. And I hear that from a lot of folks. And, you know, they seem to be forgetting like a number of things going on around the country that don't look like the good old days to me.
Yeah. And very likely because those of us who participated in those particular good old days didn't see it. I mean, I think that there was one Black kid in my high school. One. And we had 1,600 students.
Interesting.
So, I mean, that kind of tells you.
That's pretty white. That's pretty white.
You think? Wow. Pretty stinking white. Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
So I'm thinking that, you know, we're starting to run out of time, you know.
Yeah, we got off on a few things there.
I know, which is fun. I mean, I like being able to just have conversations with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's fun. And, you know, not only do we get to know each other, but community gets to know us a little bit too. And I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is that we should be thinking about and maybe talking about the next time what some practical ways are of kind of setting up mechanisms where people actually can start talking to each other. You know, I'm thinking, so we've talked about how, you know, being at a city council meeting, that's not the best time to have a conversation with your city councilors. But there doesn't seem to be any other time that's possible. So, you know, maybe we can start to think about what kinds of things we can talk about setting up so that people can have those conversations.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like if we're going to have the conversations, there's got to be a way to do it. And especially with COVID, I have no freaking clue how to do that.
Are you allowed to say freaking on the radio?
I believe I am allowed to say freaking, yes. All right.
Wow, I've been holding back on that one.
See? No, I think that the FCC has determined that there are 8 words that you are absolutely not allowed to say. And freaking is not one of them. So we can say that one. So, you know, once again, I really want to thank you for doing this, Jake.
You're
welcome. It's fun and I think it's informative. And certainly if nobody else is benefiting at all from this, you and I are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
we are.
You know, yeah, exactly. And, you know, this has been, it's very enjoyable to me. Yeah.
Me too.
And I want to thank our listeners for listening. Hopefully you're getting some value from these and have begun thinking about how to build some bridges of your own. Now, if you've missed our first 2 episodes, the podcasts are available on our website, kciw.org. We welcome questions and comments also on our website. And you can always become a member, a donor, and or a volunteer, all on the website, kciw.org. So thanks again.
Thank you. And
we'll see you next time. This is Candace Michelle for Building Bridges.